Please turn with me this evening to Psalm 52. Tonight we'll be looking at Psalm 52. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find this on page 602. To hear now the Word of God, Psalm 52. To the choir master, a Maskil of David. When Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right, Salah. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. Salah. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good, in the presence of the godly. Since our reading of God's word, let us once again bow in prayer and seek his blessing. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you, Lord, for this psalm. We pray, Lord, as we look at his words and the context in which it came out of, we pray that you would guide our hearts and minds to you this evening. May you bless my mind and my mouth that I may think and speak clearly your truth. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As one of the things that our kids get to do each day is they have a time to watch either a Diego or a dinosaur train video, whichever they prefer, and we use Netflix. And so we can watch previous seasons and whatever we want, however many times we want. What I really like about it is not the convenience of being able to see those shows whenever you want. The fact that there are no commercials. There's no advertisements. There's nothing being shoved down our children's throats and causing them some dissatisfaction in things that they don't have. And as I think about advertisements, especially around this time of year, they just seem to multiply and multiply. And there's nothing wrong with them. You know, there are some good things that are advertised. But at their core, they're designed to either give us confidence in what we've already bought or to maybe make us crave something a little bit more. Or make us not quite satisfied in what we have. Satisfaction is a big part of our lives. It kind of drives a lot of what we do. We want to be satisfied in something. Well, this psalm gives us two roads of satisfaction. There's one who finds satisfaction in evil, and there's one which finds satisfaction in the steadfast love of God. And so as we look at this psalm this evening, we'll be looking at the theme, let us find our satisfaction in the steadfast love of God instead of evil. So let us find our satisfaction in the steadfast love of God instead of evil. And we'll be looking at this psalm in just two points. The first point is a picture of an evil man, starting in the title, going through verse 4. And the last portion is really a lot like Psalm 1. It's a contrast between the wicked and the righteous. So we have the uprooted wicked and firmly planted righteous in verses 5 through 9. So first of all, a picture of an evil man. Beginning in the title of this psalm, we read, to the choir master, a Maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. This is one of the few psalms that gives us a very detailed description of the events that led up to its writing. As we consider the historic, before we're going to turn to 1 Samuel, which speaks to the events that David here gives us in the title. But first of all, in speaking of this Doeg, the Edomite, Patrick Henry Reardon, one of the commentators I've been using, writes this regarding this man. No wonder that the vicious man thus described in this psalm came to be identified with Doeg the Edomite. For the latter was arguably the worst, most unmistakably evil and reprobate man in all of Scripture. Quite a name he has there for himself. He even puts him above Judas. And as we look at the historical context here in 1 Samuel, we see that at the end of Judas's life, he at least had some measure of remorse. Did not save him for what he had done. The historic history we're given of the events surrounding Doeg the Edomite leads us to believe he had no remorse for the things he did. In fact, Reardon also says that he's so evil, he's almost boring. Because there's no conflict in him. He just loves to do the evil that he did. So first of all, starting in chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, feel free to follow along if you like. In chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, verses 1 through 9, we read the following. David is fleeing Saul. This is right after Jonathan, and he had that scene where David is kind of leaving, and Jonathan is, there's an arrow that's shot and telling of what's going on. And so David is leaving. He's fleeing from Saul's wrath. And so David came to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech came to meet David, trembling, and said to him, "Why are you alone and no one with you?" And David said to Ahimelech the priest, "The king has charged me with the matter and said to me, 'Let no one know anything of the matter about which I send you and with which I have charged you. I have made an appointment with a young man for such and such a place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread, or whatever is here.'" And the priest answered David, "I have no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread, if the young men have kept themselves from women." And David answered the priest, "Truly women have been kept from us always when I go on an expedition. The vessels of the young men are holy even when it is ordinary journey. How much more today will their vessels be holy?" So the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread there but the bread of the presence, which is removed from before the Lord to be replaced by hot bread on the day it is taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg the Edomite, the chief of Saul's herdsmen. But David said to Ahimelech, "Then have you not a spear or a sword at hand? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." And the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you struck down in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it, for there is none but that here." And David said, "There is none like that. Give it to me." So David continues to flee. And there's some various other things that happen. And then continuing on in chapter 22, verse 6, we read the following. Now Saul heard that David was discovered and the men who were with him. Saul was sitting at Gibeah under the tamarisk tree on the height with his spear in his hand. And all his servants were standing about him. And Saul said to his servants who stood about him, "Hear now, people of Benjamin. Will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you all commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? No one discloses to me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. None of you is sorry for me or discloses to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day." Then answered Doeg the Edomite, who stood by the servants of Saul, "I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to summon Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests who were at Nob, And all of them came to the king. And Saul said, "Hear now, son of Ahitub." And he answered, "Here I am, my lord." And Saul said to him, "Why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, in that you have given him bread and a sword, and have inquired of God for him, so that he has risen against me, to lie in wait as at this day?" Then Ahimelech answered the king, "And who among all your servants is so faithful as David, who is the king's son-in-law, and captain over your bodyguard, and honored in your house? Is today the first time that I have inquired of God for him? No. Let not the king impute anything to his servants, or to all the house of my father, for your servant has known nothing of all this, much or little." And the king said, "You shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house." And the king said to the guard who stood about him, "Turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David. And they knew that he fled and did not disclose it to me." But the servants of the king would not put out their hand to strike the priests of the Lord. Then the king said to Doeg, "You turn and strike the priests." And Doeg the Edomite turned and struck down the priests. And he killed on that day 85 persons who wore the linen ephod. In Nob, the city of the priest, he put to the sword. Both man and woman, child and infant, ox, donkey, and sheep, he put to the sword. But one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord. And David said to Abiathar, "I knew on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, 'I have occasioned the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me. Do not be afraid, for he who seeks my life seeks your life. With me you shall be in safe keeping.'" So that's the long passage that we've read. But that's the historic context of what's going on in Psalm 52. That is the individual that David here is addressing, this Doeg, the Edomite. He was a chief herdsman, and he desired to ascend in the eyes of King Saul. He saw an opportunity to advance his career, to advance his prestige. Notice, none of the other servants of Saul would dare lay their hands upon the priests of the Lord. But this Doeg the Edomite took up his sword and killed 85 persons that were there. But they didn't finish there. He then went to their city, Nob, and slew the city. Women, children, infants, ox, sheep, and cattle. What we have here in Doeg the Edomite is the epitome of evil. He is someone completely given over to sin and wickedness. And we see that back in our psalm, Psalm 52, where David writes, "Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit." Then he says, "You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue." It's not just this person walks in wickedness and walks in evil. He loves it. He relishes it. And this word here that speaks of why, in the initial question, "Why do you boast of evil?" is really the idea of finding self-satisfaction. And it's not so much proclaiming evil and boasting of it in that way. It's finding self-satisfaction in it, fulfillment in the evil that is done. And it's interesting, really, how David begins. He begins by asking that question, "Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man?" Almost mocking him, "O mighty man." Why does he find such self-satisfaction in evil? Then he contrasts that with, "The steadfast love of God endures all the day." You see, instead of the fleeting pleasures of evil that Doeg was experiencing and finding satisfaction in it, the stark contrast is then the steadfast love of God, which truly endures. And that's what David will begin to unpack in the rest of the psalm. But before we judge Doeg, I think one application we can take from this initial section of Psalm 52 is, apart from the grace of God, we are all Doegs. That is our position. That is where we are. We will find complete satisfaction and boast of evil We will love it. We will desire it. And we will crave more and more. So apart from the grace that God has shown us in Jesus Christ, we are all in the position of Doeg, the Edomite. Our second point, the uprooted wicked and firmly planted righteous in the remainder of the psalm. We read in beginning in verse 5, the depiction of the fate of the wicked. As I mentioned earlier, this section is really kind of has the same message of Psalm 1. We have a contrast between the fate of the wicked and the destiny and blessings of the righteous. So we see, first of all, the fate of the wicked. And we see that God will break the wicked down forever. It is God who will do these actions. He will break you down forever. He will snatch you. He will uproot you from the land of the living. So that's what awaits all who pursue evil, all who pursue sin, all who are wicked. God will break them down forever. They will be snatched away out of their tents and they will be uprooted. But there's also the idea of the righteous will laugh. We read in verse 6, the righteous shall see in fear. That idea of fear is more like awe in seeing what happens to and what God will do to the wicked. The righteous will see in fear, they will be in awe, and will laugh. It's a much like the laughter of Psalm 2. It's a righteous, holy laughter. It's not something of ridiculing them to belittle them in order for us to feel better. It's a seeing God in his work and understanding completely the perfect justice and righteousness that was exercised there. And so in response to that, we're told the righteous will laugh, saying, this is the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. So they'll be uprooted and destroyed by God. They'll be laughed at by the wicked. All because they did not trust God. They did not make God their refuge. And not only did they not make God their refuge, but they instead trusted in their riches. But then they sought refuge in their own destruction. An alternate rendering of that phrase would be sought refuge in his work of destruction. It's kind of an interesting way to look at it. And if we consider the actual context of this psalm and the actions of Doeg, consider what he did. He saw an opportunity, as I mentioned, to advance his career, to solidify his place in the eyes of Saul. And so really he is putting all of his hope and his trust in the actions that he took in slaying those priests of the Lord and their families to gain his standing and his security before the King Saul and his actions. So you see what he did there. He sought his refuge. He sought his security in his own destruction, his own evil, his own wickedness, his work of evil. But this not only applies to Doeg, but it applies to all of those who practice sin in general as well. For if we do not find our refuge in God, if we do not seek our refuge in God, what we are doing is putting our trust and our refuge in our own sinfulness, in our own wickedness. Whether it's our riches that we've amassed, whether it's the hope of some individual, or whether it's whatever we idol we want to name it, if we put our trust and our refuge in it, we're really putting our trust and our refuge in our own destruction. Because if we're not putting our refuge in God, then we're leading ourselves and we're going down the path of destruction to hell ultimately. Now the fate of the wicked here, God uprooting them and destroying them, the righteous laughing them, is then contrasted in verses 8 and 9 with the blessings of the righteous. David says, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. David begins by saying that, first of all, contrasting the imagery of Doeg being uprooted, he is a green olive tree planted in the house of God. There's security there. First of all, he's a green olive tree. He's a young, vibrant olive tree, full of sap and fruit. In the house of his God, there's a protective aspect there of a tree that is planted within maybe a courtyard of a house. There's a certain protection from the outside world that that tree has. And so there is safety, there is security that the righteous are blessed with as we are like olive trees firmly planted in the midst of God's house. There is a confidence that we have in the steadfast love of God, which lasts forever and ever. It never wavers, it never changes. There is a thankfulness that we can enjoy to God forever because of the works that He has done. And only that, but we get to enjoy the presence of God's holy people, the godly, for all of eternity. Derek Kidner, another one of the commentators, writes, "Certainly there is a pointed difference between the object of his trust, speaking of David, and that of Doeg, the one tangible but transient, the other unseen, but forever and ever." So we have here the contrast between the wicked and the righteous. The wicked placing their trust in something tangible, something that you can see, something that you can hold on to. It's transient. It doesn't last. It goes away. Whereas then the righteous putting their trust in someone who is unseen. We can't touch them. We can't feel them. We can't see God. But He endures forever and ever and will never fade away. So then we're left with the question that David asked at the very beginning of the psalm. Why boast of evil? Why find self-satisfaction in it? Why pursue it? As the psalm contrasts the fate of the wicked with the fate of the righteous. Those who find their satisfaction in boast of evil, it's fleeting. It'll fade away. And in the end, they'll meet their ruin and destruction. But those who find their satisfaction and seek their refuge in the steadfast love of God will endure forever, like olive trees planted in the house of God. So brothers and sisters, let us find our satisfaction in the steadfast love of God and not evil. Amen. Our great Father, we do thank You for Your abundant love that You have shown to us, Your steadfast love, Your faithfulness. Lord, without You, we are faithless, and we are doegs. We are those who would pursue and seek to satisfy our insatiable appetite and desire for wickedness and evil. Lord, we pray that we would be those who find their satisfaction in You and in Your steadfast love. May we, Lord, continually and daily be those who turn our backs upon evil and turn towards You and seeking refuge in Your house. May each member hear, not only hear, but those who weren't able to make it this evening, we pray, Lord, that we would be, as a congregation, as green olive trees planted in the house of the Lord, full of sap and bearing fruit in its season. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.